Steve, leads the Victory March. And I'm going to ask you to open your Old Testaments to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, the 20th chapter of 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Tremendous story. And it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there comes a great multitude against thee beyond the sea, on this side Syria. And so on. Verse 3, Jehoshaphat feared, set himself to seek the Lord, and proclaim a fast throughout Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah in Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gave it to thy seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever? And they dwelt therein, and built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, If, when evil comes upon us as the sword, judgment or pestilence or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now, behold the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldst not let Israel invade. Verse 11, behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this company that comes against us, neither know we what to do. But our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Then, upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, skip the names, the end of the verse, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, hearken, or listen, ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat. Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid, nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but whose? God's. Tomorrow, verse 16, go ye down against them. Verse 17, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites, and the children of the Korathites, and the children of the Korhites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning, went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets. So shall ye prosper. When he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers before unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness, as they went out before the army. What's that again? The choir went first? Yeah. Yeah, that's what it says. The singers, they went out before the army and to say, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." And when they began to sing and the praise, the Lord sent set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. When Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, there were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them an abundance both of riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels which they stripped off of themselves, more than they could carry away. And there were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. And on the fourth day, they assembled themselves in the valley of Berakah, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore the name of the same place was called the Valley of Berakah unto this day. Then they returned every man of Judah and Jerusalem and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them to go again to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them rejoice over their enemies. Who said that the Bible's a dull book? There's nothing dull about the Bible. The Bible is a book of surprise and a book of joy and a book of victory and a book of excitement. The Valley of Berakah. I shall never forget the first time I was in Israel, back in 1952, I was with a large party of Christians, many of them ministers and missionaries and so on. And one day we found ourselves traveling south of Bethlehem toward Hebron. We stopped on that dusty road at a Christian hospital. That hospital was nestled on that highway that's between Bethlehem and Hebron farther south. It was a TB hospital operated and directed by the late Dr. Tom Lambay, who was a physician, specialist, and a devout Christian. And I remember as we stopped, Dr. Lambay took us through that TB hospital, Stone Hospital, it's still there, across the road from a ragtag Arab encampment, refugee camp, where TB seems to be having a field day. And he took us through the hospital and introduced us to his staff. And we had a time of prayer together with Dr. Lambay. And he said to us, I remember he said to us, "Do you fellows know where you are?" Oh, we said, "Yes, of course we know where we are. We're in Israel." He said, "Are you sure you know where you are precisely?" Well, we said, "We're between Bethlehem and Hebron somewhere." He said, "You're in the Valley of Berakah." Valley of Berakah. And then he went on to remind us of the story that we have read. And we went to the back and looked out through that great plain, that great valley that comes down there to the south. It's still there, a great valley. And that hospital is nestled in there. And he said, "This is where it happens. This is where King Jehoshaphat and his choir, his singers, went out against the hostile combined forces of Moab and Ammon and Edom and so on, and the Lord wrought a great victory. Why is it called Baraka? Or the Hebrews, the Israelis call it Barakah. Why do they call it that? Simply because it means Valley of Blessing. And it was in that very valley, after the overthrow and the routing of the foes of Israel and Israel's God, that they assembled to have a meeting of praise and to acknowledge the working of the hand of the living God. And you know, my friends, every time I read the story, I think of that valley and the memories that it holds. King Jehoshaphat was a godly king. And he ruled over a God-fearing people called Judah. But Jehoshaphat found himself in a very serious predicament. He found that his people, his kingdom, was being threatened on all sides by a vicious military combine of godless nations. They ganged up against him in order to erase the kingdom of Judah from the face of the map. And Jehoshaphat found himself looking in every direction, and he found hostile foes threatening his very existence. He was in a pressure cooker. He was in a crucible and over a hot fire. And he didn't know the way out. He knew, of course, that his army was no match whatsoever against the armies of those three nations. And it looked as though it was finished curtains for his kingdom. And the heat was on. Have you ever been there? You say, I've been there. In fact, I'm there right now. I'm caught up in a situation where there are problems, where there are threatening problems, where there are insurmountable problems, maybe an emotional problem. It may be a physical problem, maybe a financial problem, it may be a marital problem, a family problem, whatever it may be. The Edomites are not dead, the Moabites are not dead, the Ammonites are not dead, and they still close in. And we find, my friends, that people today, our society today, that can conquer outer space and send the Voyager and the Discoverer off into space to explore the unknown reaches of that great, vast expanse up there. They can conquer space, outward space, but they can't conquer inner space. And the very men that through their skill and ingenuity put all these mechanisms together that made space travel possible have problems within. Problems within. Today, we're living in a time when all these enemies are within. Envy, unforgiveness, loneliness, resentment, bitterness, self-pity, self-glory, lust, laziness, skeletons in the closet from the past. All kinds of things seem to crowd in upon us and we feel boxed in and in a plight comparable to that which Jehoshaphat faced in this crisis hour. What did he do? What did Jehoshaphat do? Well, according to the world's estimate, he did a very silly and time-wasting thing. He called a prayer meeting. A prayer meeting. The world says a prayer meeting. Oh, yes, of course. And they laugh up their sleeve. What difference is that going to make? He called a prayer meeting. And he called upon the nation of Judah and the leaders of Judah to get together to call upon help outside of himself. Help must come from outside of himself. And he said, we're going to ask God. We're not only just going to pray, we're going to cry to God. This prayer meeting that they had in this episode, dear friends, was not just coming together and mumbling a little prayer, a cute little prayer that I've been mumbling for years. Not just saying certain words and phrases and tacking an amen on the end, but they cried to God. They cried to God. They cried to God. Did you ever get in a pressure cooker where you cried to God? I prayed thousands of times. But, my friends, I can remember on several occasions where I cried to God. My soul was in anguish, and I cried to him. And something happened. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Perhaps you're not a Christian this morning. Perhaps you've never been saved. And you don't know God is your Father and Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. And you don't have that joy and that possession of eternal life. The Lord says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call unto him. Lord, save me, I perish. Like Peter, when he was sinking on the Sea of Galilee, he cried out, Lord, the floor had dropped out. He got his eyes off the Lord and he began to sink and he cried out, Lord, help me. Lord, save me. I perish. Lord, save me. I perish. The Lord put out his hand. The Lord can't resist a prayer like that. He just can't resist a cry for help. The same as you mothers can't resist a cry from help that comes from your child when your child has burned her hand or something like that. You respond. You drop everything you have. Doesn't matter what you're doing. You run to that child's rescue because you love that child. She's part of you. He's part of you. Jehoshaphat cried. They had the great prayer meeting. Am I right? Let's look at it again, the 20th chapter of 2 Chronicles. Yes, verse 3, he feared. Who wouldn't? He feared. And he set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. A fast. I heard a brother say that in fasting, I lay one hand upon God and I lay the other hand upon my stomach. I lay one hand upon God and the other hand upon myself. Well, that's what they did. They were not playing church. They weren't playing games. They were for real. They said, God, we need you, and we need you desperately. And notice at the prayer meeting who was there. Verse 4, they gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord, even out of all the cities of Judah. And they came to seek the Lord. And it says that they were all gathered there, including their little ones. All their kids were there in the presence of God, crying to God for help. They prayed. And as they were praying, and they were bombarding the very throne room of the Most High and praying for help for victory, there was a man stood up and he spoke. His name was Jehaziel. I don't know anything about the man, but he spoke out with a loud voice in this prayer meeting. Look at what it says in verse 14. Then upon Jehaziel, a Levite, the end of the verse, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation, and he said, hear now, listen, all Judah. Thus saith the Lord unto you. He said, brethren, we don't need to pray anymore. I've got a word from God. You know, that's tremendous. I think had I been at that prayer meeting, I'd have said, sit down, brother, this is a prayer meeting. This isn't for preaching, this is a prayer meeting. But you know, God broke into that prayer meeting, and the Holy Spirit of God came upon this man, and he stood up, and he interrupted the whole prayer meeting and said, I've got a word from God. Everybody looked at him. What's this crackpot got to say? Wait a minute, he isn't a crackpot. What's he saying? He said, I've got a word from heaven. He said, I've got the answer. I'm the Lord's messenger boy. I want to deliver a message to you, a telegram from the Most High. God has been hearing your prayer. And upon Jehaziel, the Spirit of the Lord came in the midst of the congregation, and he said, listen, you inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Wait a minute. Say that again, brother. He said, the battle is not yours, it's God's. Then he said, go down tomorrow against them. And he gave them a road map. Oh, that's not quite right. He did. He pointed the way that they were to go. And then he said, you will not need to fight in this battle. You'll not need to fight. Not need to fight? Why, man, Jehaziel, have you seen these fellows? Have you seen their armaments? Have you seen their munitions? Have you seen their chariots? You won't need to fight, he said. You see, Jehoshaphat had told the Lord that they had, run out of gas. He had told the Lord that they had come to the end of their resources. Look back, if you will, to verse 12. O our God, wilt thou not judge them, for we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but arise her upon thee. My brother, my dear sister in Christ, have you ever come to that place where you've come to a dead end? That's where the Lord meets us. The Lord intervenes when we come to the end of our hoarded resources and we've run out of gas and we're just stopped in our tracks. Jehoshaphat said, we have no strength, Lord. And not only that, but we have no wisdom either. We don't know what to do. You tell me the Bible isn't an up-to-date book. Why, my friends, people are still at wit's end's corner. All of us have been there. We just come to the end and say, Lord, I quit. I don't know what to do. I call upon you, deliver me. No might and no wisdom. Why, that's hard on my pride. I've got a little strength, Lord. Lord says, okay, go ahead. I've got a little wisdom, Lord. I'm not exactly a numbskull. This king publicly acknowledges his utter mental and spiritual bankruptcy. We have no might, no strength, no wisdom, and Lord, if you don't come to our help, we're finished. That is the atmosphere. That is the point. At that point, the living God moves in and says, now it's my turn. Get out of my way. I'll show you my strength. I wonder why the Lord waits until we come to the end of our resources. I think the answer to that very simply is that no flesh should glory in his presence. See, if I worked it out, if he did 90% and I did 10%, I'd say, Lord, don't forget my 10%. Now, I had a little part in this. The Lord must have all the glory. And if the Lord is going to bless you and bless me and bless our church, and give us a visitation here at Faith Bible Church so that we've never had anything like it before, no one is going to take the glory but God himself. It's God who must do it. And he says, my strength is made perfect in your weakness and in your bankruptcy. And it was then that the word of the Lord came forth. Very precise
You won't need to fight. You won't need to fight.
God says, I'm going to fight. And you know what the living God did? He mobilized all the hosts of heaven. He mobilized his army. He's the Lord of hosts. And he has infinite resources. And he said, now I'll take charge. You go down. I'm going to give you the victory. And you will not need to pull a trigger or put an arrow to the bowstring and pull the bowstring. God said, I'm going to take over that I might have all the praise and all the glory. And that's exactly what happened. And then Jehoshaphat did what? I know what I'd have done. I'd have said that fellow that talked like that, he doesn't know the facts. He is a religious fanatic, that boy. Getting up and spouting off like that, saying what he said. I don't know. I don't. You know, Jehoshaphat heard Jehaziel. No, wait a minute. Tatum, you're wrong. He heard the Lord speaking through Jehaziel. He heard the Lord speaking through Jehaziel. You see, look at verse, where is it here? Verse 18. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and that all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord. I don't know quite what that means. They all went down. The whole crowd of them fell before the Lord on their faces, worshiping the Lord. They must have believed. They must have believed that this was a message from God. Exactly. They believed it. And then what did they do? Look at the king in verse 20. The king stood up before his people and he said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. In other words, he confirmed the prophecy. You know, New Testament prophets, and there were many of them in the New Testament churches, distinguished from the teachers. When the prophets spoke, two or three in the assembly of the saints, their prophecies were always confirmed. Did you hear that? Let the prophet speak two or three and let the others judge. Let the others assess. Let the others evaluate. So that a ministering brother is not his own, doesn't speak on his own individual authority. It's to be submitted to the judgment of, and Jehoshaphat heard that, and he said, that's a word from God. And he said, folks, we've heard from the Lord, and we're going to accept him. He's going to take over. And we're going to trust him. Do you hear that? We're going to trust him. And then he said, now look, we're going to move against the foe. And he said, where's the choir? Bring the singers. And they got the singers. All the Levites. And he said, bring your fiddles with you. Bring your cymbals. Bring your tambourines or whatever they had. The cymbals. He said, get the band out. Well, there's no time for a band, king. Are you? He said, yes, it is. And he got the band out and all the singers, and they went ahead of the army. They went ahead of the army. The king must be going senile, going crazy. No, my friends, he wasn't. The king believed, and he said, look, the victory is ours. It's in the bag. God is going to, let's praise him for it. And they praised in advance. And they put the choir ahead of the army. And they went down into the valley of Baraka. And they coming against the foe, singing the praises of the Lord. And they were singing, praise be to our God. Praise to the Lord God of Israel. The enemy must have thought they'd gone off their heads. Candidates for the booby hatch. A bunch of nuts coming against them. They were singing the praises of the Lord. And when they did that, my friends, God went into action. You know, praise brings victory. Praise brings power. Let me read, without asking you to turn to it, another episode in the book of Ezra. In the book of Ezra, they gathered together and they praised the Lord in chapter 3 and verse 10. When the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priests in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites and the sons of Asaph with cymbals to praise the Lord. And they sang together by course in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And all the people shouted with a loud shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the temple was laid. I was looking at another one in the book of Nehemiah. In Nehemiah chapter 8, listen to this. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, and when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, Amen, Amen, lifting up their hands. And they bowed them their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And Nehemiah said, Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto the Lord. Neither be ye grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And they had a hallelujah meeting, and they all began to praise the Lord. But you know, let me just explain something. That was after the fact. They praised the Lord because he had already acted. Jehoshaphat praised the Lord before the fact. Did you hear that? And when he praised the Lord, God intervened. You know, my friends, praise is a rare thing in many of our lives. We all have prayer needs. Whenever we have a prayer meeting, we have a show of hands for needs, and different ones will say, pray for this one, pray for that one, pray for the other one, pray for this, that, and the other. But when we say, who has a word of praise to the Lord, there's a significant silence very often. Nothing to praise the Lord for? Nothing to praise him for? My friends, the Bible is full of exhortations to praise the Lord. And when we praise the Lord, we rise above our circumstances. And the reason why I don't praise the Lord more is because of distrust. To be very honest. I say, well, he isn't interested, or if he is, he can't do anything about it anyway. What's that? That's just downright unbelief. That's distrust. But faith rises above our circumstances and says, Lord, you are in full control, and you're going to get glory out of this. The battle is not mine. I cannot handle it. I'm not smart enough to handle it. You take over, Lord. You take over, Lord. And you know, when we praise the Lord, that brings blessing. Yesterday, I came on a text that jumped out of the page in that connection. In the 18th Psalm, it says this. It says, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. Hey, how about that? I will call upon the Lord. He's worthy to be praised. I'll give him thanks and glory. So shall I be saved from my enemies. When Paul and Silas in the Philippian dungeon with their backs bleeding, when they praised, they sang praises in that dungeon, they brought the house down. They brought the house down. There was an earthquake. God said, I can't keep out of this. And the result was the jailer and his whole household were saved that night, and the Philippian church was established. The Philippian church was established in an atmosphere of praise and thanksgiving and worship. You know, my friends, I repeat what has taken me a long time to learn, and that is that when I praise the Lord, when I give him credit for knowing what he's doing, and I trust him to bring good out of this thing, I rise above my circumstances in triumph, and I receive the victory. Why? Because I'm in touch with the victor. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, listen to it. Thanks be unto God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I used to think it said, thanks be unto God who has given us the victory. That's past. It doesn't say that's present tense. Thanks be unto God who gives us the victory. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Greater is he that is in you than he that is of the world. The Lord has the key to every situation, and the power, and the glory. And he doesn't need any blueprint from my little peep-squeak mind, some ideas that I have. He's got all the ideas, and he's got all the power, all the victory. And when I turn it over to the victor, the risen, ascended Christ of God, then, my friends, I reap the victory in my life. But if I say, Lord, thanks just the same, I don't need you, I can work out my own problems, thank you, I've still got my wits, and I'll work them out, and I'll plan, and so on. Now that, when saying that, my friends, I'm not saying that we should say goodbye to our brains, I'm not saying that we should never exercise our own judgment, but I believe that our own judgments and assessments should be brought to the scrutiny of the Lord. And say, Lord, I think this is the answer, but you know the answer, and I leave it with you, and I praise your name. I bless your name. I praise your name. And praise, my friends, brings the hand of God. When we praise him, so shall I be delivered from my enemies. You know, dear old Jehoshaphat, after they went down into the valley of Baraka singing with the choir leading the Edomites, the Moabites, and the Ammonites. They were thrown into confusion. And they began to hack down one another. It turned out to be civil war. Judah needed to do nothing. But here the enemy annihilated themselves. God threw the ranks into confusion. And Jehoshaphat did what? Folded his arms and said, well, that's that. Good riddance to bad rubbish. He didn't do that. You know what Jehoshaphat did? He said, now we're going to have another great big praise meeting. And we're going to call this the Valley of Baraka. The Valley of Blessing. That's what Baraka means, or Barakah. It means blessing. The Valley of Blessing. And after the Moabites and the Ammonites had hacked themselves to pieces and annihilated their own flesh, Judah moved in and for 3 days they filled goodie bags, doggy bags. For 3 days they filled boxes and barrels and they got the trucks and the boxes and they filled themselves with booty. It took them 3 days to salvage the riches, the jewels, and all the treasures that had been brought by these wealthy Oriental kings. It took them 3 days. So, what am I saying? I'm saying this in closing, that the trial brought not only victory. Are you ready for the rest of it? It brought them enrichment. So the army went back home to Jerusalem, not only walking on air, not only rejoicing in the Lord, but they went back, my friends, much richer than they would have been before. Our God loves to take the most difficult situations and make those difficult, threatening situations a resource for his own glory. You say, well, I wish he'd hurry up and do it in my life. I don't see much. Well, you better start praising the Lord first. You better start giving him thanks for what he has already given you in your life. Thank him for Jesus. Thank him for the Holy Spirit. Thank him for this book, the Word of God. Thank him for the people of God. Thank him for saving your wife or your husband or your children. Thank him for good health. Thank him for strength. Thank him for the land in which we live, the freedom that we enjoy. Oh, and I could go on till tonight. You know, all these things come to us as benefactions from our great and generous God. Therefore, let us keep praising. Amen? Let's stand. I want you to open your hymn book, if you will, to a beautiful song, number 32. You hardly need the hymn book for it. Number 32, all praise to Him who reigns above in majesty supreme. Number 32 in the book. And we'll start on the chorus, I think, ladies. Shall we start on the chorus? There we go. Sing it, blessed be. Blessed be the name. Blessed be of the Lord. Yes, blessed be. Let's sing the last verse. His name shall be the Counselor, the Mighty Prince of Peace, of all earth kingdoms, Conqueror, but which never cease. Sing it out, blessed be. Lord, blessed be the name, blessed be the name, yes. Lord, can you say praise the Lord? Can you say hallelujah? Amen. God is going to bless us. We'll see you tonight. Be here on time. We're going to have a great meeting tonight. Father, thank you for this stimulating and glorious and true story. And although Jehoshaphat's gone long ago and all of his armies, yet thou remainest. You're the living and the true God, and you've revealed yourself as our loving Father through our Lord Jesus Christ. And through him, you delight to give the victory. Oh, Father, forgive us for our lack of praise. Grant that we may be a worshiping, joyous people and finding our joy in Thee. Let Thy blessing rest upon Your precious people. We pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, and all the people said, Amen. God.